You are listening to TRX. This is Michael Bolden. Phil Russo dropped. We're going to get him back on. But we want to welcome to the show first our next guest, which is Robert Scott Bell. He's the host of The Robert Scott Bell Show. And he's been a featured speaker, as we mentioned earlier, at three different Nullify Now events. He's a leading homeopathic health practitioner, a good personal friend of mine. And Robert's message over and over has been, act without permission. And that's the message that we've been promoting here at 10th Amendment Center all along. And I think that's really the way we need to approach things on just about every issue. Robert's personal issues would lean more towards, obviously, towards health, but I know he gets it across the spectrum. Robert, thanks for spending a little time with us. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Michael. It's good to be on with you. And, of course, you ask for permission, and you likely won't get it. And that's not what I'm all about, as you know. I talk about basically living as if you are free, because you really are. But, of course, we've been kind of taught to believe that we're not, and so we act accordingly in this case, except when it comes to dangerous Amish terrorists selling raw milk. Then, of course, we need a large federal bureaucracy to save us.
Yeah, absolutely. That was up in Pennsylvania, I believe. Now, that clip that we are listening to coming out of the break, Robert, that is from this new documentary, Farmageddon.
Yes.
The promo that I have, it says, Farmageddon does more than document government overreach. The movie also takes issue with FDA claims that raw milk and other products popular with foodies are unsafe and filled with dangerous bacteria. Robert, what do you know? Do you know a little bit about that film or what they're doing there?
Well, I know the fact that my wife and daughter and son just had a big glass of raw milk right before I got on the air. Don't tell anybody. But yeah, I actually interviewed the filmmaker a couple of weeks ago about it. And, you know, this really, it relates to that recent sting operation that happened right outside of Washington, D.C. as well, where an Amish farmer who had been, you know, providing raw milk from his herd to people that have called these herd shares. They buy parts of the cow and then they can share into it, but they somehow entrap this guy to go across state lines and we get into interstate commerce and this nonsense. Nobody was being harmed. There were no complaints. But, I mean, it was how many millions of dollars did the FDA spend on a full year undercover operation to basically bust down this, not drug dealer, but milk dealer who, you know, was harming no one? And so I think that the Farmageddon really highlights and shows you visually of the absurdity and the fact that, you know, they have it wrong on basic biology as well, but that's not unusual for government. They get it wrong in so many areas. So their prime motivating force is from basically an unscientific premise that germs are the cause of disease, when in fact all the history of raw milk being bad was only when they started farming in very confined spaces in the inner cities, and they had very, very bad hygiene, very bad farming practices, and suddenly they had microbial growth in cows that never existed when they were pasture-fed. They were out grazing, and they milked them like they have for thousands of years.
So, Robert, give us the intro here. A lot of our listeners and readers over at 10thAmendmentCenter.com, they may be real excited about trying to push back on things like national health care, the Department of Education. But while some
yeah.
may be under the impression that the FDA shouldn't exist, maybe like me, tell us a
yes.
little bit about the FDA or maybe even the Department of Agriculture, USDA. Where do they cross the line and act unconstitutionally? I know we only got like 15 minutes or so, so maybe try to condense
not the
that
big
down.
Question.
Just the what's the synopsis of where are they crossing the line doing stuff they shouldn't be doing?
Well, you know, in the beginning, and we talk about the early part of the 20th century, way back in the early 1900s, there was a guy named Harvey Wiley. Dr. Wiley was actually a good guy, and he established the Pure Food and Drug Act, which basically said, you can't adulterate the food in America. You poison people, you're in trouble, you're out of here. And that was protecting the public. It was a legitimate role of government to not violate anybody's rights. But somehow it got corrupted over the years due to corporate involvement, lobbying, corporatism, early part of the mid-20th century as such. And the FDA became this large behemoth that actually it didn't protect the people from dangerous food, drugs, and additives, but in fact protected the manufacturers of those substances from the people when they were harmed. And now, of course, it's beyond an overgrown bureaucracy. It's a very dangerous one. Congress, you know, passes a so-called law, however unconstitutional, and then basically abrogates rulemaking authority and writing authority over to an unelected bureaucracy. We call it a bureaucratic oligarchy. Now they make rules to outlaw, for instance, you know, raw milk or for instance, dietary supplements. Right now, the big battle is if you want, you know, whether it be vitamin C, E, or selenium. We know that selenium, all the science shows it can prevent and reverse cancer. My dear friend Jonathan Ebord has had to sue the FDA 7 times now, and he's beaten them 7 times in court. You know, in legitimate, supposedly, the judiciary, we talk about the separation of powers. And even the judicial branch has sided with him against the FDA, yet the FDA, part of the executive branch, you know, and now Obama's controlling it, is ramping up its efforts to attack not only raw milk, but people that are producing or companies that are producing dietary supplements where nobody is dying, statistically speaking, zero since 2008. And, you know, of course, the drugs that they're defending or protecting are killing hundreds of thousands of Americans every year. So it's worse than a bad bureaucracy. It's a very dangerous one. It's killing more people than, you know, in fact, diseases are killing people. So we have a life and death matter. That's why I say nullification, in fact, is a matter of life and death, because we have voted, you know, the scoundrels out so many times, and the Republicans get in and say they're going to roll it back, and they do the same thing. And then the Democrats say they're for the little people. Look, Obama gets in there, and they're attacking raw milk farmers and small family farms, worse than even the Republicans have ever even considered. So at this point, we're looking at the states nullifying the FDA here, so that we can actually grow a plant that the Constitution was written on again. Not even necessarily smoke it, but if you wanted to, go ahead, knock yourself out. So we've got a life and death issue here, and that's why, you know, for my story, as you've heard and those that have seen the video from some of my appearances at the Nullify Now conferences, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for nullification. And I don't mean, you know, even on a state level. I'm talking about a personal level. So I take it down to that very personal sovereign level that we need to understand that we cannot wait. We cannot ask for permission. We got to start living as if we're free, or we'll never free, because they're never going to give it to us.
Yeah, isn't that the case? I mean, John Adams said many years ago that liberty once lost is lost forever. And while I don't think he was saying we're screwed for forever, but if once government takes your freedom to fix some emergency or for some procedure that they got to take care of, they're not just going to volunteer to give that back. It's going to take a long, hard struggle by the people to regain their liberty. And I like the fact that you brought up, and that's something else I wanted to talk to you about how nullification is a matter of life and death. And you talked about this pretty deeply at your Phoenix speech. Can you get a little more detail on how that all plays out? When you say life or death, is it just a scare tactic like the government's doing? Or tell us a little bit more about what you mean by that.
No, absolutely not. In fact, you know, I talked to someone from, what was it, from Nourishing Hope, Julie Matthews. She's in the Bay Area. And there's another case of, you know, the state of California. I think raw milk is legal to sell for animals or something. But anyway, they attacked another small farmer, a family farmer in the San Francisco Bay Area that was providing raw milk, goat milk, in fact. And there are many children who, for whatever reason, the moms can't produce enough of their own natural breast milk. And goat milk is an ideal substitute in raw form. And now they've attacked one of the main supplies there for the Bay Area. Now a lot of children are going, you know, in a very dangerous situation, are going without the nutrition they need, and they don't do well on genetically modified soy formulas, or even rice milk doesn't provide what the goat milk can provide. So in that case, it's very much a life and death issue, even on a state level. That's why I say we have to nullify things personally too. But in my case, growing up pharmaceutically, only knowing about drugs, it wasn't until I was 24 years of age, having had suffered through 24 years of chronic illnesses, being treated with doctors with FDA-approved drugs, that I one day woke and realized that there's a whole other world of medicine out there that the government doesn't sanction, doesn't want you to know about, and certainly doesn't want you to know what it can do. And I undid 24 years of chronic debilitating allergies, respiratory diseases, skin disorders, musculoskeletal inflammatory conditions, gastrointestinal diseases like Crohn's, colitis, irritable bowel, and leaky gut, all without using a single drug. And I, you know, I wouldn't be alive if I didn't nullify the FDA, because the FDA said that you can't know that, you can't do that, you can't use that. And what was I going to do? Wait around and die? And go, well, the FDA said it was, I couldn't have it, so I just decided I'd just go ahead and leave my body. It's like, forget that noise. And so a lot of Americans are waking up to that reality, that the FDA is literally, as one example of a bureaucratic oligarchy, not constitutional, but yet, you know, voted into reality. Is literally ending or terminating the lives of, you know, hundreds of thousands to millions of Americans over time. And, you know, this is also validated in the peer-reviewed journals. If you're into the medical journals, like the Journal of the American Medical Association in the year 2000, And the Starfield report validated 106,000 to 225,000 Americans were dying every year due to FDA-approved, properly used, administered, prescribed, ingested, drugs. And so the FDA turns a blind eye to that. We have a culture of death in Washington, D.C. with these bureaucrats. And Congress, you write them and complain. They'll go, oh, I'll write a letter to the FDA. And the FDA writes back and says, well, and then the congressman writes you back and says, well, we can't do anything about it. They're the ones writing the rules. You know, we need to wait for that. You can't vote that out. So that's why nullification, brief version, is a matter of life and death.
Robert, last year we reposted an article that Mike Adams from Natural News wrote about raw milk and in regards to this issue here. And we've talked, or you mentioned briefly, the raw milk raids on Amish. And I know there was out here in Venice, California, another raid that happened last fall. Tell us a little bit about what was going on there.
Well, Rossum out there in Venice Beach was really providing wonderful products. Nobody was complaining. Again, it was another seemingly a sting operation where they were selling a lot of raw products, raw milk as such. And because whatever reason they feel threatened by the fact, and you know, this is where you get in, you have to make leaps I don't know how you go, just deduce, you almost have to be a detective of Sherlock Holmes and say, well, really, seriously, what is the threat of raw milk? Why is this so dangerous that they would, you know, spend a year of FDA's budget to sting something like that, whether it be close to D.C. or whether it be out in the state of California, which you think as the crunchy granola capital of the world would be appreciative of, you know, having access to raw foods. But it tells you that the government fears a healthy populace, absolutely fears a healthy populace, because they can not only see because they're healthy, but they can act on what they know. So you begin to see through the lies of the federal government and sometimes even on the state level. And then you have the energy to actually act. So the most dangerous thing, yes, we can say an armed population, but arms are not just firearms. Arms are the arms you have, and the ability to use them, if you are not diseased and dependent upon government-sanctioned drugs, you have the ability to act against those who would want to enslave you. So this seems to be a very real effort to keep the population, well, let's say, devoid of certain nutrients or enough nutrients to actually do something about what is going on. So that's why my message, I feel, is so important for the Liberty Movement and the 10th Amendment crowd movement to understand that if you are not healthy, if you are semi-healthy or losing your health, trying to regain it, you know, if you're spending all of your energy just trying to get by every day, how are you going to be able to utilize the energy you want, need, and know you need to have to nullify that which is in violation of your fundamental rights to life, liberty, and property? And again, that's why I see the marriage of the health freedom issue with the 10th Amendment Center and Nullify Now is so very important to bring together.
Robert, are you going to have a chance to stay over a couple of minutes? I know we just got a couple of minutes here before the break, and we probably want to take a couple of calls. You got a few minutes to join us a little further?
For you, Michael, I'll hang out all night. It's up to you.
Oh, you know, I just got to keep asking that question just so I feel special. I'm fishing every now and then. You know, I'm looking for some compliments. If you have questions on the FDA or health issues or raw milk, I don't know if we're going to get into practitioner questions, but let's put it in line with the Constitution, 10th Amendment. Give us a call, 323-843-6008, 323-843-6008, and we'll be back on the other side.
If our military were given orders to fire on Americans, would they remember their oaths and refuse? The Oath Keepers won't leave that to chance. They are reaching, teaching, and inspiring the current serving military and police to do what they swore to do: defend the Constitution. Visit www.oathkeepers.org to learn more. You don't have to be prior service to join. Freedom-loving citizens can join as associate members. Oath Keepers is now urging veterans to stand up for state sovereignty with Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes, part of the Nullify Now tour. Go to www.oathkeepers.org. You are listening to TRX on the 10th Amendment Center Radio Network.
What business is it of the government what kind of milk you drink? fed up connoisseurs of raw milk, that is unpasteurized milk, took to the steps of Capitol Hill to protest laws banning the selling of unconventional milk. They're outraged by the armed police raids on those who sell raw milk. I think that most Americans would be extremely distraught to learn that with all the problems we have in society, with a $14.3 trillion debt of the government is sending to police to point guns at farmers for selling milk to people who want to buy it because the government doesn't approve of whether or not the milk was pasteurized.
You are listening to TRX Tenther Radio at radio.10thamendmentcenter.com. My name is Michael Bolden, speaking for myself and Phil Russo. I guess we've had a little technical difficulty getting Phil back online, but we're also here joined by Robert Scott Bell, who's been giving us a wealth of introductory information. I'm sure, Robert, we could probably talk for hours on this. It's fun doing it like this because, Robert, I've had the blessing of being on your show a number of times where you're doing the interviewing and I get to ramble on and talk about all kinds of good stuff. Tell us a little bit, before we go into some questions and things, tell us a little bit about your shows. You actually have two, if I'm not mistaken, so the listeners can learn a little about what you do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, absolutely. You're turning the tables on me, asking me the questions now. I don't know what to do, but
I love it.
Scott Bell Show's on 6 days a week now, 5 days a week on Natural News Radio. Go to naturalnewsradio.com. And on Sundays on GCNlive.com. That's my terrestrial show, and that starts at 10 a.m. Pacific on Sundays. And, of course, my Monday through Friday show starts every day at 9 a.m. Pacific. And, of course, my website, robertscottbell.com, you can sign up there as well. So loads of information, and 6 days a week is almost not enough, but I'm having a blast doing it.
That's awesome. Now, you just recently switched to the 6 days a week load. How many hours a day are you doing on that?
A couple hours a day, 6 days a week. And, you know, I'd been doing 2 to 3 hours a week since 1999, basically, a long time. And I'd always wanted to make the leap to go daily. But having the right circumstance and the right network to go with that would not censor me in any way, it took a long time to develop, and that's where we linked up. You mentioned Mike Adams with Natural News, and it was a match made in heaven, so we have absolutely the ability to reach out all over planet Earth with a message of liberty, and I'm telling you, people from all over the world dig it. I mean, you remember all the reasons why people loved America. That's what we're talking about, and it's not a jingoistic perspective. It literally is going back to those basic principles that we know I think most of humankind would appreciate, but even if they don't, we're not here to convert them. We're just here to let loose on what we believe is right.
You know, just coming out of the break there, Robert, we heard from Judge Andrew Napolitano a little bit about those raw milk raids in Venice, California at Rawsome. Do you have a little more insight on, like, what's the next step on this? I mean, do you think we should expect to see more and more raids, or do you think they were just doing it as a scare tactic to kind of build up some hype to scare people off from, you know, acting the way that they say fit for their own health or nutrition in their own area? What's your thoughts?
Well, I think what's really happening now, whether they think this is a good strategy on their part to kind of frighten people away from it, quite the opposite is happening. It's raising the awareness of the absurdity of the regulatory bodies. I mean, people are you know, looking at this and going, you know, dude, I may not want raw milk, but I think it's ridiculous that our government is spending all of these efforts to attack people that simply want to get this stuff that's been consumed this way for thousands of years. Now, there are obviously nanny state leftists and nanny state rightists that you know, don't get it, really. But I think what it's doing is actually waking the sleeping giant of the American people that, you know, back to, you know, maybe shaking them back to consciousness to say, man, this is out of hand. So in my mind, I'm saying bring on their stupid attacks, because it's only gaining more not only listeners to my show and more awareness for the 10th Amendment Center and the nullification concept, but it's really causing people to think about other areas where the government has just so far outgrown its constitutional limitations. So what is their move? I'm not sure. I know our move is just to be ready to help people along, to understand what's gone on and how to take practical steps instead of, you know, cursing against the wind, so to speak, or cursing the darkness, but actually doing things, taking action that is actually going to do something and work. And, you know, why I was drawn to the 10th Amendment Center and the Nullify Now concept is it's a peaceful, nonviolent means by which we can exert and exhibit our authority, if you will. by simply withdrawing consent, withdrawing the energy and the power they utilize it to enslave us. And it's kind of like when I look at cancer, I don't look at cancer as something I have to attack and kill. I literally have to withdraw the energy that cancer uses and feeds off of, whether it be the sugars or the substances. We just simply starve the cancer. The cancer goes away. The body is restored to wholeness when you give it what it needs. And in the same way, politically, we do the same thing by withdrawing the consent. Stop feeding the beast, because what do you expect the beast is going to do? Scott, I just covered a story for tomorrow that I'm going to be doing on the Texas chiropractic group. They're being attacked by the Texas Medical Association, this turf war. It's like a turf war. And they sued the medical doctors sued the chiropractors. The chiropractors are trying to play nice with the medical doctors and say, okay, we'll give you this, and as if they're going to play nice. And the reality is, it's just going to destroy them. You can't play nice with people that want to kill you, that want to destroy you. Now, this isn't an advocation of let's destroy them first. It's a concept of the Texas Chiropractic Board is acknowledging an authority that the medical board doesn't have, and they don't get it. Some of the chiropractors do, but again, that's another element of how this is playing out in so many turf wars around the country, and this is what it's all about. You know, with FDA, the pharmaceutical industry basically owns and controls them and runs them. So do you expect they're going to be nice to the homeopaths and the herbalists? No, not at all. They see that as a threat to their monopoly. And of course, monopoly is not an American concept. It certainly is a concept of so-called big business per se. But even that wouldn't be around if the government didn't, let's say, authorize, mandate, or basically, support it. It takes big government to make monopoly. Protect it, certainly.
Yeah, like I said, Robert Scott Bell, he's not just going to oppose the FDA. He's consistent across the board. Robert, we got a caller from Rhode Island, Doug. Doug, what's up?
Yeah, hi. Doug from Little Sicily, a.k.a. Rhode Island. How you guys doing tonight? Michael,
all right, Doug.
Robert, I wanted to just touch on this whole permission thing. I've been in the health insurance field, and then I have a follow-up question. I've been in the health insurance field for nearly 30 years, and I think, when you give permission by consenting, but what happened to this whole, what I've been telling my clients for nearly 30 years is, take responsibility. I think that's the word that I come back to for your health. Where did we go off the track in taking responsibility for our health instead of just willy-nilly saying to the doctor, okay, I'm going to trust everything you say and do, and for that matter, it goes with finances, or I'm going to put all of my finances and everything that we should be taking responsibility as sovereign, independent individuals to do ourselves and just, okay, here, you do it for me. And not even consider the options or looking at that responsibility, in my opinion, to do it for yourself and your family. Why does that happen? Why is that, I know I'm off the nullification a little bit, but,
Oh, it relates. It does relate. Michael, you want me to take a stab at it?
Yeah, please do. You're the honored guest here, Robert.
Yeah, no. I defer to you, Michael, man. No, I appreciate it. And I appreciate your call there as well. The issue is one that goes back 100 years, in fact, with what's known as the Flexner Report of 1910. Now, this happened when the Carnegie and Rockefeller groups got together and said, hey, we need an assessment of all these medical schools. We think we got too many doctors. We want to have a little bit more control over the situation. And basically, it was a preordained report that was intended to wipe out any competition to the evolving or developing, terrain or business model of petrochemical medicines. We had the oil-based medicines that were coming out, patent medicines in the 20th century. And so what they did was they standardized medical care and basically said homeopathic hospitals, eclectic herbal hospitals, and doctors, you're no longer legitimate. We're going to defund you, and we're going to fund only this group. Now, that set up the stages for monopolies, or a monopoly of medicine, which didn't occur before. There used to be a free market of medicine in this country. Homeopathy was a mainstay through much of our history, and herbalism as well. And at that point in the 20th century, started the decline toward state-controlled monopolies. You had the medical boards being established, licensure being established. And so at that point, now you had a monopoly system. People started moving away from food as medicine, medicine as food, the family doctor concept. And then as a monopoly will always bring about higher prices because there's less or no competition, medicine became more expensive. Now, this also coincided with a few years later, the 1913 Federal Reserve Act. And that was the point where the money started decoupling from money, right? We had heard Ben Bernanke today being grilled by Ron Paul. Is gold money? Ben Bernanke says no. What a numbnut he is. Of course he knows it's money. Why would we have Fort Knox and why would it be guarded if it wasn't money? So the point is here, it started getting decoupled. We started seeing inflation happen, printing more than there was to back it up. And at that point, prices began to rise. Then we had to start saying, okay, the people can't afford the medicine. What are we going to do? I got an idea. Now, this moves forward in the 20th century to the third-party payer system, where insurance used to be for catastrophic loss, unexpected things. It was admiralty law. You went out, you had a ship, you pooled resources. A lot of people kind of put their resources together. If the ship went down, you didn't lose everything. That was insurance. And somehow it got converted at the time of Nixon and the health maintenance organizations, the HMOs, developed. And now it became so untenable and unaffordable because of the monopoly and the inflation of the money supply to afford for the medicine that you didn't even need. But because it was a monopoly, you were trained to believe that they had something that you needed when you didn't. The synthetic toxic drugs of Big Pharma, which I referenced earlier, very dangerous to the health of the American people. But we got lazy. We got impressed by technology and white lab coats. They became not doctors, but they became the new priestcraft of the Church of Biological Mysticism. It was a whole new cult that developed around modern medicine. And, of course, as these insurance schemes became more and more involved, third-party payers began directing the doctors. So if the doctors were even good, they couldn't do what they knew was right because the codes didn't support it. And so the coding system, which was owned by the American Medical Association, monopolized what doctors were even allowed to do. And so today, if a doctor doesn't prescribe enough medications, the state board's going to come in and threaten to take away their license. It's an absolute slave-master relationship, and the doctors are just as enslaved as the people who go to see them. Now, I've probably gone so far beyond anything anybody's ever heard. I don't even know what I just said, but I hope it made sense. There's a lot more to say.
Well, we're just going to have you on every month or so to get a little more insight onto these issues. Robert, you know, another topic I wanted to talk about, and I know we don't have a lot of time here, just a few minutes before we got to let you go for the next break, This Food Safety Modernization Act that passed, there were a couple of towns up in Maine that were actually passing legislation to nullify the Food Safety Modernization Act. I think it was S-510 or something. Tell us a little bit about that and what's going on up in Maine. Maybe we can use that as a model around the country.
Well, that was passed over Christmas of 2010 against the will of the people. If there ever was an outrage, I mean, it was incredible. The flood of outrage that went back into Congress and the Senate, yet this is the evidence that nullification is the answer. Because with all of the outrage, they basically stuck their middle finger up at you and me and everybody else that believes in food freedom and farm freedom and said, we're passing it anyway. And this, of course, was to appease the big agribusiness, the global corporations with no allegiance to any nation or state. And at that point, they basically had the rulemaking authority to say, hey, you're growing something in your backyard. If you didn't, register, sign up, get approval again, permission, we can come and shut you down because you're not filling out your paperwork properly. I mean, that's the absurd level that they could push it to. Now, the good news here, of course, is that the government has been out of money for a long time. It's only becoming, knowledgeable among those in government now more recently. And I think the FDA just got, $285 million of their budget cut because there just wasn't the money to give to them. And so they realized they don't have the funding to implement, or execute the so-called rulemaking that they made on these things. So chances are they'll never be able to put it into full fruition because they won't be able to afford to, regulate it as they'd like to or enforce their so-called pseudo-mandates or laws. But in the case of Maine, we're finding local communities taking the spirit of the 10th Amendment down to that local and individual level to say, screw up. The FDA has no authority here. Now, the problem is they still have a lot of influence from the federal and international level down even on the state level. And so there's been some pushback on the state level. So part of this is we're going to have to put more people that understand these concepts into state government positions in addition to the local municipalities because as we heard from Governor Jesse Ventura, and I interviewed him a while back, there, you know, there are CIA operatives in every government, in every state government, in the governor's office. So they're looking, they're watching, they want to maintain that beast in every state. So it's going to take more of this local activity and action to nullify that which is abominable on the local level. Imagine you can't grow fruit and vegetables in your backyard, much less your front. There's a big story about that we're covering on Natural News and on the Robert Scott Bell Show in the next couple of days as well.
Robert, we just got another minute or so here. Before we let you go, first, give the website URLs where people are going to listen to your show. And then if you got a little preview of what you're going to talk about at Nullify Now Kansas City on August 20th, maybe a little tip on what direction you might be going. I know it's a little early yet, but any thoughts on that?
Well, yes. I mean, I may reveal more cures for cancer that the FDA doesn't want you to know about, because it's just fun to stick a thumb in their eye when they say you can't know things. So those are just kind of the sneaky, subversive things I throw into the talks, even though obviously it's more about the principles underlying our freedom to heal and how we do indeed nullify, and when we do nullify these anti-health mandates, how we are not only stronger and healthier, but what that means in far as our resolve and our ability to defend ourselves and let's say put the beast back in the cage where it belongs, the constitutional cage where it belongs. As far as the websites, if you want to learn more about my show, go to robertscottbell.com. I put up the daily news updates there. You can also sign up for free email alerts at naturalnewsradio.com, and that'll get you plugged in as well. You'll find out about my Sunday show on my site. So there's lots of healing to do, and I never run out of things to do every day. It's imagine 2 hours a day, 6 days a week, and it's still not enough time.